Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie. Today, I'm at the Des Moines Arts Center with assistant curator Jared Ledesma. His first major exhibition for the Art Center, Queer Abstraction, opened in June and earned commendation from the Sotheby's Prize jury for its groundbreaking scholarship. Pretty cool. Ledesma has organized numerous permanent collection-based exhibitions for the Art Center, including I, Too, Am America in 2017, The Irrational and the Marvelous, and Sultry Night, selected works by Grant Wood in 2018. Previously, Ledesma was in the Painting and Sculpture Curatorial Department at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. He holds both a BA and MA in Art History from San Francisco State University, and he's been in Des Moines since 2017. And he's done a pretty great job of community building. So, Jared, it's a question I probably should have asked others, but I've got to put it to you. We really need to kind of start thinking about, what does community mean to you?
I
love that side.
Well, I love how when just now I asked you, I feel like community is very subjective, and I'm happy you were like, yes, that's what I want in an answer. Because to me, I've found a community here in Des Moines, more so than what I was in San Francisco, because it's such a larger area. And here in Des Moines, you know, when I first started at the Art Center, I was immediately introduced to people. They invited me into their homes, and they were like, you know, let me introduce you to so-and-so. And I remember I told, forgetting their names, I told a couple that, you know, my mom, she was expecting me to move out here to Des Moines and to meet a really a nice, sweet, down-to-earth farmer. And this couple, they were like, well, we know some gay farmers, and we're going to introduce you to, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a coming out party for you. And just that warmth that I found here, to me, that is a community. And, you know, when I first moved here, I moved downtown, in downtown Des Moines, and I didn't care for it because where I was before, I was in Oakland in the San Francisco Bay Area. And Oakland, although it's a big city, it's also more like a big city with small neighborhoods. And I miss that feeling of a neighborhood. And so I moved now. I'm closer to, I'm in the Roosevelt area. And I love it because I know my neighbors and we talk to each other and we take care of one another. And to me, that is a community. There's dialogue, there's conversation, there's warmth between the community members. There's understanding with each other and learning from one another, and a curiosity about one another that I think is really important as well.
Well, then with that, with the Des Moines Arts Center, kind of the juggernaut, if you will, of the visual arts in the Des Moines metro, what can and should be its role in community building, and how's it doing?
I think the Art Center, well, you know, the Art Center was founded as a resource for the Des Moines community. It was always founded with the principle that we are free to the public. Our architecture, the first building that was built completed in 1948, the Saarinen building, if you know it, you'll know that it sits kind of low to the ground.
Yes.
And it's not imposing. And that was on purpose. The founders wanted a museum to not look intimidating to people. We are called an art center for a reason. We're not called an art museum, but an art center, to further emphasize that we are a center for the community, and we are not just an art museum that houses, you know, artifacts of previous centuries. We have a very robust education program for the community. We have studios here for the community. And so that's always been at the core of the Art Center's mission. And I think now we're headed in a really great direction of really trying to reach audiences that don't know that we're here and that don't know that we're free. And for me in particular, it was important for me to reach the LGBTQ community to let them know that, hey, there's a gay curator here that's doing gay shows for you, and to let them know that, you know, this is happening at the Art Center and that we're paying attention to you.
And so you are. So let's talk a little bit about queer abstraction and your role as the curator of something of pretty high significance here for this community. You're kind of putting us on the map a little bit. It's not that often that something that originates here is going to go launch to other places when it's done here. And it's meaningful here and now. Tell me a little bit about the challenges of looking at something that's not been done in 70 years of the Art Center's history, focusing on art of the queer community, never been done before, at least according to the website, so I'm trusting that's right. What were the challenges that you have faced in trying to curate this piece, this work?
That's a great question. There were a lot of challenges historically in the field of curating at an art museum. Exhibitions that focus on marginalized communities have been seen in a negative light.
What way is that?
I think there's this idea of ghettoizing artists and kind of grouping them, and there's this effect that further marginalizes them if you group them in such a way.
Gotcha.
But now, over the past, I want to say, decade or so, these museums have been showing up more and more often. We've seen many museums devoted exclusively to women artists. There have been a lot of shows on Black art, on African American art. And so I thought that, you know, now is a good time to do a show like this. And my background is in queer art history, and I've always had, you know, curators, we have these ideas in the back of our heads that
you
kind of sit there.
You should see his hands flying right now.
That's true, that just sit there. So this idea has been percolating for a while. And, you know, I pitched it to my curatorial colleagues, and they loved the idea and kind of took off from there. And, you know, oh, I'm forgetting the rest of your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I was asking about the challenges.
Yes,
because,
right.
And so one of the challenges you've told me so far is just the whole concept of doing something might be interpreted as further marginalizing a marginalized group.
Exactly.
And now maybe that change has shifted to starting to look at it as a level of elevation instead.
Bingo. Yeah. And, you know, as the museum field is really at a interesting point right now, where we're looking at our collections and looking at the canon of art history and how white and patriarchal it has been for decades, if centuries. And, you know, and we're trying to repair that history and trying to collect artwork. And so doing a show that's only on queer artists is challenging, because it does kind of seem like we are ghettoizing these artists, but it's also monumental that we're bringing to light and focusing on artists that have in the past, their sexuality or gender identity has been marginalized or not mentioned. And it's important for people to realize that there are many artists out there that are queer, that are making really important work.
Well, one of the things I've learned in doing this podcast is, to some extent, the real importance of the content of the art in helping to craft community, and particularly when it allows conversation and dialogue around challenging subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And the impression I got that was, in part, queer abstraction was intended to help us have some conversations.
That's perfect.
Around some tough, tough subjects.
Yes.
What are you seeing is resulting from this exhibit?
So one of the most important lessons, and part of the mission of this show, is in the show's title, the word queer. When I got here to Des Moines and I was telling people I studied queer art history, a few responses I got were, oh, that word, like, queer, that's negative, isn't it? Isn't that an insult? Like, how could you use it that way? And, you know, I'm coming from San Francisco, and it was just really interesting to learn about how, you know, certain, I don't even want to say a trend, but word usages, you know, there's like a delay there in this word of queer and how it's been accepted in the community and celebrated by some and not by others. And I thought, well, you know, this title might be hard for some people in the community. And so what we did is it was suggested to me by one of the curators here, Laura Burkhalter, was to put a definition of queer and abstraction on the wall of the title of the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
To really like break it down for people so they understand. And I've gotten so much positive feedback about just putting that on the wall, you know, just a simple, I mean, it wasn't that simple to define, but it lit just putting that on the wall, and people are like, thank you for doing that, because it helps us understand how you're thinking about queer in regards to abstract art, and helps us understand the history of the word. But that was definitely a challenge, like, how are we going to get people to understand queer in regards to this show?
So you had to be a little more didactic on that one than on some of the other elements, which mm-hmm. would stem from the art itself. And I'll just make a very casual observation. When I walked in and made my right turn and saw the first series of five or six pieces, mm-hmm. I wanted to walk in each one of them. Each mm-hmm. one of them seemed to invite me in physically. And then I turn around and behind me are doorways.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about how this exhibit does invite people in, and what are you inviting people in to?
Oh, I love that question. That's such a good question. So usually the main gallery is divided by what we call temporary walls. It's rare that the gallery is empty or emptied out like it is for this exhibition. And that was important for me because I see all of the objects in the show and the objects that are in the pay wing as well as part of a community in themselves, that they all kind of, there's this thread or element of queer abstraction connecting them. And so I wanted them all to kind of speak to each other and have dialogues with each other in certain ways. And it was important for me that when people, like right when they enter the lobby, they see the whole show, like right there's queer abstraction, you know, and it's like this family of objects. And to me, that was kind of symbolic of this idea of a community, so be it, like a marginalized community, what have you. But it, to me, I thought that was really important.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I want to jump back to queer abstraction in a moment, but take a bit of a side turn and ask you about the role of the curator in this whole concept of community building, as mm-hmm. well as the arts community building.
Mm-hmm.
How are you seeing, now that you've been here a couple of years, how are you seeing your role, and has it evolved as you've become more familiar and more knowledgeable about Des Moines?
You know, that's it's tricky because the Art Center, our curatorial programming, part of our mission is to bring the contemporary trends in the contemporary art world here to Des Moines for our community, for our arts community. So you don't have to go to New York or LA or, you know, or even Chicago. We have groundbreaking contemporary art here in Des Moines. And that's part of our mission and part of my job as a curator. But another part, you know, that I've made it kind of a mission of mine is to know the artists of Des Moines, to get to know. I've been to, you know, the Fitch building and Mainframe, and just really get to know the artists here, I think has been really important. It's hard to like kind of have that balance too, because we do want to show, you know, art from New York here at the Art Center, but we also want to commit to the community as well. And I think we're doing a great job with our Iowa Artists exhibition. We have that every year to kind of highlight an artist from the community, which I think is really important. I don't know. Did that?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And let me tap into your education a bit here. You know,
sure.
you're steeped in art history.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we haven't touched on yet in this podcast is the history of art in community building.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a little bit of a relationship there that you can touch on for me? Historically, how have art centers, art curators, et cetera, built community?
Mm-hmm.
Is that too strong a word, built?
I don't know. I think
fed? Nurtured?
It's, you know, I'm going to kind of, I don't know, kind of go on a, I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but I think up until recently, you know, the art world has been very inclusive, and maybe even a bit like secular. It's just like, I don't know if that's the right word, but a lot of people have, you know, who haven't studied art history or aren't familiar with art, walk into a museum and they see modern art or contemporary art, and there's that, you know, that I don't get it.
Yes.
And they're afraid and they're intimidated. And for the longest time, you know, this is my personal belief, I think the art world was like, okay, well, whatever, you know, this, you know, we're writing for the art world, we're showing. And I think finally museums and art centers and galleries have realized that we want to introduce art to a broader audience. And there's this whole world of art education that's integral to community building. And it comes down to how I write labels on the wall, you know, where I don't use jargon, where, and not necessarily dumbing down, just making really short, brief sentences that people won't be intimidated by, that they'll want to read, and that'll engage them and not turn them away. What doesn't look or sound too didactic. And so I think that's where we're going in the museum field. I think in the past, you know, it's something that we've missed out on, and now we're trying to pick up on that, and especially in arts education.
Well, that's grand. So back to queer abstraction then for a moment. If you were to recommend to someone who was maybe coming to the art center, maybe not the first time, but, you know, they're not highly experienced,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to walk in and they're going to see queer abstraction,
mm-hmm.
what can you do to sharpen their focus as they go through there? What would you want them to know or understand that maybe is not written on the wall?
Ooh, that's a good question. Give me a sec.
Sorry. Sure. Take your time.
Okay. I think what's really important, I would love for people to know, is that this isn't the only exhibition on queer abstraction, and that there are many artists out there that are working that are queer or not, that are using abstraction to talk about, to visualize identity and sexuality. And this is just a small sampling of what's out there. And that was really hard in organizing the exhibition, because, you know, I would just keep coming upon artists that I'd want to include. And but it was really important for this show to include an array of mediums, a variety of mediums. You know, we have painting, we have sculpture, we have work that sits uncomfortably in between painting and sculpture. We have textiles, we have fiber, we have a 100-foot wall made out of plywood, you know,
and a piece you can walk on,
right? And that was important to me, to show the breadth of work that uses queer abstraction. And I think what's also important is that a lot of these artists are open, that they are talking or using an element of queer abstraction in their work. And for some artists, it's just a tiny detail of the work. So for Mark Bradford, for example, it's just, you know, it's hard because there's no concrete definition of queer abstraction, but it's just a small element of the work among many topics that his artwork is trying to touch upon.
So another tough question then for you.
Okay.
We've not touched on much in this podcast, if at all, really the concept of slow art.
Uh-huh.
And you have slow art days here at the Des Moines Art Center.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you could kind of answer two things at once.
Sure.
I'll tell the audience a little bit about what slow art means. And if you were to pick one piece for them to focus on as part of a slow art experience within queer abstraction, what would it be and why?
Okay.
Woo! There we go.
All right. So Slow Art Day is a day devoted to looking at an object for longer. I think the average is 10 seconds that a visitor spends with an object. So I think traditionally it's been, I want to say, like 3 to 5 minutes looking at an object on Slow Art Day and just really spending time with the object and devoting time and analyzing it, looking at the medium and the texture and the colors and the patterns and its message. And so in queer abstraction, there's two works in the pay wing, in the lower level, by Jonathan Van Dyke. And there are these, he calls them net paintings. There are these works composed from t-shirt fabric that he cut into geometric shapes and sewed them together and had them installed onto these wooden like lattice structures. So one is standing kind of in the gallery and another is on the wall. And he describes this very eloquently, but he talks about how from far away they look like abstract paintings. But if you spend time with the objects, if you look at them, and I love this, he says you are rewarded, and I think that's perfect. You're rewarded with seeing the intricacies of the artwork, where he sewed the t-shirt fabric. If you walk around, you can see the stitches, you know, and you can see the backsides of them and really get engrossed with the object and learn why this is queer abstraction. And I think that's the best work for Slow Art Day.
That's wonderful, and I can't tell you enough about how rewarding it has been for me to get to visit with you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
likewise.
You very much. So tell us this quickly goes through September when?
So the show ends at the Des Moines Arts Center on September 8th, and then it is traveling to the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art in Overland Park, Kansas, and it opens there on November 21st. And the Nerman Museum is actually adding a few artists to the show because they have more space than we do. So I encourage people to see it there too.
Thank you so much, Jared.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much.